Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
What I want to talk about today is how to just take the stand, how to not let your trial move you off of a decision of faith. We're talking about having faith in the fire. We're not talking about having fear in the fire. Even though fear is a reality. We're not talking about how to give up in the fire. No, we're talking about how to have faith in the fire. And you cannot separate the way you speak and the way you respond when in a trial. You can't separate that from faith. Nor can you separate the need for steadfastness and patience in a trial from faith. Faith is more than believing. A lot of folk believe and they say they have faith. Faith is beyond belief. The word says the devils believe and tremble at the thought of God. Some folk believe and don't even tremble. The enemy's got more on you than you do when it comes to a response to belief. Faith is sourced in the word. There is a clear definition of faith in Romans 10 verses 8 through 17, Hebrews chapter 11 verses 1 through 3. So I want to go in and just look at an example in the word of faith in the fire, and let's see if we can't find some biblical examples on what to do when my faith, what I've heard from God, is being tested so that I can remain steadfast, so that I can take the stand. Which really is what patience is. Patience just says, I'm not moving. Patience says, I'm not giving up. Patience says, I'm not giving in. Patience says, I'm gonna remain steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding. I'm not gonna let what I am facing change what I know to be true from the Word of God. Amen. Now, I just wanna solidify something real quick. So if you would, go back over to Romans 10. When you talk about faith, and when you talk about fear, and when you talk about going through a trial, there are some things that are essential if I'm going to respond to my trial in faith. And so I wanted to show these to you again here in Romans 10. If you're there, say amen. So he says here, and we'll start in verse number 8. He says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Let's read that verse out loud together. Ready? Read. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So the word is saying here that faith, when in operation, will be evident by what is said in the mouth. Faith must exist in the heart and in the mouth. Notice he said here, the word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith. And the reason I'm going back and revisiting this is because too many people in an intense moment, in the intensity of the fire, say whatever comes to mind and then retract and say, well, God knows I didn't mean that. But we bring so much more than just the trial onto our lives. We exaggerate the trial. We worsen the situation when we're not able to tame the tongue, when we're not able to say the right words and to stand in the right position when we're under conflict. Let me give you some verses that I'm not sure I got out last week, so I can tie this thing up, put a bow on it, and move forward, all right? Psalms 50, verse 23 says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation right, I will show the salvation of God. So God is saying, hey, get your conversation right. Get your words right. Jesus in Matthew 12, 35 through 37 said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. There's nothing like a trial to make you choke up what's in your heart. There's nothing like a trial that'll make you start saying things that have been in your heart, but a trial made them come out. Come on, somebody. And so it'll bring some things to light that we might not have even known were in us. Jesus says in verse 36 of Matthew 12, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Verse 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So what Jesus is saying here is that your words are going to tell the story. Your words are going to declare what shall be. You'll be held accountable for how you answer your life, your trial, the conflict. Proverbs 15:28, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." So Proverbs 15:28 is saying that a righteous man studies before he answers. He doesn't just say what comes to mind. He doesn't let his emotions get the best of him. He doesn't let fear take over. He doesn't let anger take over. He doesn't let frustration take over. He studies before he speaks. Now, we got to miss it sometimes to make it. So right now, if you're hearing this, you say, "Man, I've been missing it." Pick yourself up. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God gives us his word for instruction and correction and to edify us so we can get it together. But there are too many people that have made their circumstances and situations worse in a trial because they weren't able to tame their tongue. They weren't able to get their mouth in line with the word of God. I'm telling you, this thing about how you answer your trial, you may take it lightly, but it is serious with God. And I'm going to show you examples of this here in just a minute. Proverbs 12:14, "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth." By the fruit of his mouth. What are you saying? Proverbs 13:2, "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth." I'm living and I'm eating spiritually, mentally, physically, off the fruit of my mouth. Proverbs 18:7, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." You can destroy yourself by what you say. Proverbs 21:23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles." That's a word I need right there. Proverbs 21:23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." All right, now let's go to Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at your neighbor and just tell him again, what you say can be held against you. Spent all last week talking about this. Now, let me show you how to not only confess the right word, but the importance of taking a stand. You made a decision in faith. You knew what the word of God said. You're faced with a trial. You heard the word. You made a decision based on the word. You took the stand. You know what to say. You know what the word of God says. How do I remain in this steadfastness? Watch this in Hebrews 10, and we'll look at it down in verse number 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. You get there, say amen. All right, watch this. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Now, Psalms 45 verse 1 says, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." You might hear me about every service, I pray that verse. You might have heard that and say, "Man, that's such an interesting prayer. Pastor, where'd you get that?" The word. Psalm 45 1 says, "My tongue is a pen." Proverbs 3 teaches that my heart is a tablet. So if my tongue is a pen and my heart is a tablet, I write on my heart what I say. I write on others' hearts what I say. When you don't have a pen to write something down, most of the time you'll quote it back to yourself to help you remember it. Because your tongue is a pen. Now notice he says here in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. In other words, whatever it is you have spoken. And we see here that it is a profession of faith, and it's not a profession of faith unless that profession was based on the promise of God. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm answering my trial with the word of God. I'm speaking the word of God over my trial. I'm getting into the word. I'm hearing the word. I'm reading the word. I'm meditating the word. And I'm confessing the word over whatever it is. And however I can apply this word to my trial, that's what I'm doing. That's faith. If you're not doing any of what I just said, then you don't have faith in the fire. Faith in the fire means I have made a decision based on this word. I am hearing this word. I am meditating his word. I'm confessing his word. I'm acting out on his word. I'm responding to my trial in faith. We've spent weeks talking about this. But notice what verse 23 says. Hold fast the profession of faith without wavering. Hold fast the profession. Now, I know that word our is there, but that's in a King James Bible. It's italicized. That's the beauty of a 1611 King James Bible. When a word was added, it's italicized, so you know it was not in the original text. And I like omitting that our because it just sounds stronger, and it is original if we read it this way. Let us hold fast the profession of faith. Let us hold fast the profession of faith. What faith? The faith I got from his word. The faith that his word declares. I'm holding fast to the profession of faith. Notice, without wavering. There's no double-mindedness. I'm not swinging one day one way and swinging one day the next. No, I'm not wavering in this thing. I'm taking the stand. I'm taking the stand. Take a neighbor, take the stand. I'm taking the stand. I'm not going to move. I will not move. No, I've made a decision in faith. I know what the word of God says. I'm standing on the hope of his word. I'm not wavering from his word. That's faith. And the word says, hold fast to profession of your faith. But what if you've not made a profession of faith? What if you've not put it out there? What if you've not spoken the word of God? Then there's nothing to hold fast to. See, when you look at the life of faith, which you, when you talk about a faith decision, hearing the word, meditating the word, confessing the word, the next step of faith is acting. It's now when I act out on the word of God. But that doesn't come till I've heard the word, meditated in the word, confessed the word. Now I've got corresponding action. That's what the word means when it says faith without works is dead. It means faith without some corresponding action. How are you responding to your faith? Does your faith have corresponding action? Hallelujah. He's saying here, hold fast to the profession of your faith and don't waver. Don't be moved. Don't give up. Don't cave in. Don't quit. Stand fast. Notice that latter part in the parenthesis. Read it with me. For he is faithful that promised. For he is faithful that promised. Now, let's do this because I want to finish some things up here in this chapter and then go look at a real life example, or actually examples of what it is that I'm talking about. Now, let's go down to verse number 35. And man, when you're going through it and you don't need to be moved and you don't need to be wavered or wavering, it's important that your life has a support system of faith. And I know I said go down to verse 35, but it's important for me to bring up verse number 24 and 25. Watch this. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Read that out loud. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In the Greek, that's translated, don't rely on a live feed when you're in driving distance of the church. That's what is in the Greek. And I've seen it, and I can see the live feed numbers steady going up, and I'm grateful. But it also tells us where these pings are happening, and there's so many happening right here in Shreveport. It lets me know which house. No, I'm just kidding. We don't get that kind of information. But I'm not silly to think that so many of just rely on the live feed. Now they're out of fellowship. They're out of the assembly. And I thank God for the live feed. It's a wonderful tool. But if you can get here, you need to be here. Look what the word says. Not forsaking the assembling. You need to be around other believers. You need the encouragement and the strength of fellowship and being surrounded by other men and women of faith, especially when you're going through a trial. Amen. Eight people just turned off the live feed. Now, that's because they're going to go get ready for church. Now, watch what he goes on to say here. Let's drop down to verse number 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Verse 36 is so, so important, because we already read in James 1 that when your faith is tried and tested, you need patience. So watch verse 36. Read it with me. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So he didn't say be patient before you've done the word of God. Do the will of God, stand on the word of God, declare the word of God, and then be patient with the word of God. Hallelujah. You need patience after you've done the will, that you might receive the promise, which means you're never going to walk in the promise of God if you can't show patience. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. So delay is not denial. Impatient people can't take delays. But impatient people will never have the promise of faith, because as soon as their faith is tested, they lose patience, and God says, okay, you just failed the faith test. You lost your patience in the fire. You let the fire change you. You let it change your mind, your confession, your action. You didn't apply patience. I know this is not an easy word, but it's the truth. Verse 37 says, a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. That reminds me of Habakkuk chapter 2, when God gave Habakkuk that vision, and he said, hey, Habakkuk, I want you to write the vision, I want you to be able to run with the vision, and I want you to wait on the vision when it looks like it's delayed. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will come, and it will not tarry, and though it tarry, wait on it. I've said this before and I'll say it again. For many believers, it's not that you have not done the right thing. You haven't done it long enough. Let me put myself in the mix. It's not that we have not done the right thing. We have not done the right thing long enough. Breakthrough will come. But you can't let impatience get you out of the will of God. I'm talking to somebody. Now watch verse 38. Now the just, the born again, those that have been justified by the blood of Jesus, the just shall live by faith. That's the fourth time in God's word that statement is made. It's made in Habakkuk 2:4. It's made in Romans 10:17. It's made in Galatians 3:11. And then here in Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. It's not what I apply just because I'm now going through something. No, faith is how I live every day, whether I'm going through something or not. Faith is my life. Faith is not an event. Faith is a life. Now the just shall live by faith. Now here we go. Watch this. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no what? Pleasure in him. And the root to the word pleasure is please. So God said, if you draw back, I'm not pleased. Well, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. I can't please God unless I'm operating in faith. For he that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is God, and number two, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not just try one time, that didn't work. I'm living by faith. I'm choosing faith. I'm hearing the word, meditating on the word, confessing the word. And now I gotta take a stand. I can't be moved. Consistency is the key to the breakthrough. Some of us have established the wrong patterns in life. And by default, we're going back to that pattern. And at some point, we have to break the pattern. And sometimes trials will make us break a pattern that we don't need. Patterns not only tell us where we're going, they tell us where we came from. So I'm going to do this. And I've done it before for those of you who've been around here for a minute. But I'm just going to do this. All right? 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 18, 20. Help me. Where am I going now? 22. The pattern told you where I was going. Where do you think I'll go after 22? 24. See, the pattern told you where I was going. When you make it a habit to respond to a trial this away, and then another trial came and you responded that away. Then another trial came and you responded yet again that away. You establish a pattern, and when that pattern's not right, when that pattern, you know, is going back to the world, going back to sin, leaving church, leaving God, cussing folk out, getting mad, using drugs, getting a drink, going back to the club. What? I'm being real. Y'all act like everybody here, everybody don't have it together. You look around, we in church. It don't matter where we at. The flesh is the flesh, whether you here or somewhere else. We all contend with this flesh, and whatever has become a part of your routine will surface when you're in a trial. A trial have a way of resurrecting stuff you thought had been dead. It'd be a 7-year-old sin to come back to life in a trial. Oh, y'all just gonna do me like this. Just look here. Hey, look, right, look all saved, sanctified me. I don't know what you're talking about. God is wanting to establish a new pattern in our life. Trials have a way of resurfacing habits that tell us where we're going, and they also tell us where we've been. Because you notice in that example, I started with 6. I went 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. Then you said 22, 24. The pattern said that's where I was going. But if you look carefully, the pattern also tell you where I came from. 2, 4. When we have a pattern that reflects where we came from, not, and I'm talking about outside of faith, sin, addiction, bondage, anger. I wish somebody would be real with me. And God is saying, there's a pattern of behavior in your life that I must change. Because your history will define your destiny if you don't change the way you behave, if you don't change what's habitual. Faith should rock that process. Faith should disrupt that cycle and say, okay, I got to get in the word. I've got to renew my mind. I've got to speak in line with this word. And then now, by consistently applying faith every time a trial resurfaces, I develop a new routine so that faith is my habit.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.